Okay, yeah, so we left to go to Panama on January 10th, last couple Mondays ago, and we all got there on Monday night. I guess we got there like 10 or 11 at night, and then we took a bus to the hotel, so we didn't pass out any tracks on Monday. I went right to bed when we got there, and then on Tuesday morning, each day we would have breakfast like at, I think, 7 a.m., and then we would go out around 8:30 or 9 o'clock in the morning for a few hours, and then we would either get lunch out where we were, or we could come back to the hotel for a little bit for lunch, and then we would go back out like around 3 o'clock. Because down there in Panama, in a lot of these Latin American countries, they have the siesta, in the afternoon, there are not many people out. But in Panama, it wasn't like that. Not many people do that siesta thing. But it is very hot in the afternoon. So we would go back out around 3 o'clock. And then have dinner around 7 o'clock. And then we would have a... Because down there, I guess it's summer right now, so it wouldn't get dark until like 6:30, 7 o'clock. So you'd have a lot of daylight time. And then we would have a Bible study around 8:30 and a hymn sing, and then go to bed after that. And we did have some visitors to the Bible study, but I'll talk about that later. But on Tuesday, the first day, I got to go to the prison. We went to a very big prison in Colon City. So we were in Panama City is where the hotel was. That's where we flew to. But then there's this city to the north. It was about an hour and a half drive to a city called Colon. And Barry Prasad, who set up the trip, he arranged with this, I guess he's the president or leader of the Panamanian Bible Society. And he set up, he talked with the prisons or whatever and scheduled the visits for us to go there. And so the first day we went up there, and he took us in his own car, this Bible Society guy. He was a very, very nice man and seemed to, you know, really was happy that we were there and could bring the gospel. And he even was asking about the end of the church age book when we were there. He wanted some copies of it to share with some other people. I don't know if it was the first time he heard about it or what his background was, but he was very helpful. And so we went up there. And when we got there, you know, there wasn't too much. There was a security gate there, and all these people lined up outside the prison at the gate with all bags of food in their hand, bringing it into the prisoners. So it's all their family members and friends or whatever that are visiting the prisoners. So we got to give all them tracts, which was a blessing. And then, you know, the guards looked at the van or whatever and checked the trunk, and then, you know, they know we were there just to bring the Bibles, and so they let us in. And then, you know, there was all sorts of, red tape that these guys had. This Panamanian Bible Society guy was talking with the guards and everything. And everything's in Spanish down there, so I didn't understand what they were saying. I spoke a little bit of Spanish, some phrases and things like that. But while all that was going on, we were passing out tracts to people milling around. Some prisoners were playing kickball or something, we were able to give them tracts. And then finally we got to go in. They brought us into this, I guess it's like a chapel in the prison. And the prison was split where there was a men's side and a woman's side. So first we went to the men's side, and they had a lot of writing on the wall, a lot of Bible verses painted on their walls in the prison. And also they had some pictures and stuff. I think I saw one picture of so-called Jesus on there. You know, they had a lot of, but they had a lot of verses up on the walls and in this chapel. And they had, I guess in this prison, they have like, there were probably 15 guys that we met with in the chapel who are supposedly like the Christian leaders in the prison for the men. And they would have Bible studies with the other men prisoners, but they're prisoners themselves. And so Barry Prasad and Jerry Middlestadt was there. And they gave they were able to share a message with these 15 men, the leaders in the prison, and that the Panamanian Bible Society guy would translate for them. So like Barry or Jerry would say something, and then this guy would translate it in Spanish for them. And they were very, very receptive, very attentive, and they seemed to be very receptive to the message. And they did ask, because Barry or Jerry, one of them, they emphasized about how speaking in tongues is not of today, you know, it's of Satan. And so some of them were questioning, you know, just very sincerely, you know, they wanted to know more about that, why tongues was not of God, you know. So they might have been from a charismatic background or whatever, but they're all in all, they were very receptive. And so they all got Bibles and tracts and also some other booklets. I think we brought some tongues booklets with us and Wheat and Tares books. And then we were waiting to see whether we were going to be able to go around to the men prisoners, but it turned out that they didn't want to let us do that. So we were able just to leave all the tracts and Bibles that we had brought with these guys, and they said they would distribute it to the rest of the prisoners, you know. And so the Lord's in control of that, and hopefully they did distribute that. And then we went over to the women's side, and when we got over there, they also had like a chapel room, and there was a message going on. Some woman was teaching the women. There were probably like 50 to 75 women in there listening to this lady speak. And then we just waited till she was done, and then they let us come in. And then again, Barry and Jerry had the opportunity to share a message with these women, 50 to 75 women. And we were able to give all them tracts. And then me and this other lady, Delta, we went around with the security guard. She led us around the cell blocks of the women. And so that was good. We were able to, you know, give them the tracks through the cell, through the bars in the cell. And these, you know, I've never been in a prison before, even in America. I don't know what they're like, but over there it's just, you know, just bars and a padlock on the outside. And I'm sure today the American prison is probably all computerized and stuff like that, but all this is, you know, just a padlock on the outside, and all you, and it's very dark. There's like very hardly any lights on inside. All you see is the glow of TVs in many of the cells, just the women watching TV or whatever. But they're all very receptive to the tracks, and so that was a blessing. That was a good experience there the first day, and it's good to bring the gospel to these people in the prison. And then after that, we went to we were still in the city of Cologne, and there was this free zone or something where it's this huge area where people work, and you're not allowed in. And you're allowed in, but you're not allowed to pass tracks out inside. They didn't want us to do that, so we had to stay outside the gates. And I don't know what the free zone is, like where they can sell things without tax or something, or even go in and buy something with no tax on it. But the people are not allowed to, you can't buy something there with no tax and then bring it out and resell it or something. I don't know how it all works, but we just stood outside that gate, and around 4:30, 5 o'clock, when everything closed down and all these people, this mass exodus of thousands and thousands of people just coming out, and here we are right at the gate, and there's only like three gates, and they have to come out of these gates. And every car that would come out too, they would stop, the guard at the gate would stop the car and check their trunks, make sure they're not carrying any of this merchandise out to resell it or whatever. So they check almost every single car, and so that forces them to stop, and then you're right there, and so they just pull up a little bit, and then, you know, they roll down the window and they get the track too. So you're facing people flowing out walking, and then the car's there, so you gotta get them over here, you know. So it was a busy place. And so that, and we ran out of tracks. We must have passed out, I don't know, 1,500, 2,000 tracks, and then me and Jerry, and then we ran back to the car to get more tracks, because that the Panamanian Bible Society guy, he waited for us in his car, and we had brought, you know, boxes of tracks. We had a lot there, and so that was a good day, the first day, and everybody, almost 100%, everybody was just taking the tracks. Very few, you know, any nasty remarks or anything like that. And some people stop and ask you some questions, and it was very, and I think at that place, I think I did meet somebody, said they listened to family radio, and, you know, from what I could understand what they were saying, and they mentioned Dr. Otero, they would say his name, and then I would ask them about the open forum, if they heard the open forum. Foro Abierto in Spanish is open forum. They say, oh yeah, we listen to that too. The shortwave, I guess, comes in Panama. It's only on shortwave in Panama. There's no AM or FM. But on the back of the tracks we had all the shortwave frequencies. that they could tune in. So a lot of times when people would talk to you, we could point them to the back of the track. So that was good. And, yeah, and I guess Tom Kukla, he was also there. And he, that Tuesday, he went to this shopping mall. And it was a very, very busy mall. And they were starting to pass out tracts inside. And then they got stopped by the guards or whatever, and they said, you got to get permission from the administration. So then Tom went over to the administration, and the lady there, you know, just said, no, you can't pass out anything. You have to stay outside by the bus stops, which there's a lot of people out there too, but not as many as in the mall walking around. And so Tom gave her a tract or whatever and tried to explain to her what they were doing, and she said, no, you can't do it. You can't do anything inside. And so she said, okay, and he walked away. And then they didn't go very far. And then all of a sudden the guards come rushing up to him and say, no, she said it's okay now. Go ahead and pass him out. And the guards were happy that they could now pass him out. And so whatever, she just changed her mind just like that. God just worked in her heart. And then, boom, now they could pass out tracts inside the mall. So that was a blessing. Tom was really rejoicing in that. And then, then the second day, then Wednesday, we went. I was with Jerry and another lady named Elsha, and we went to this place they call Cinco de Mayo. It's like a mall. They have all shops along the street. You can't drive cars down the street. It's only pedestrians. It's a very busy area. I think the team went there every day the whole time we were there because it was so busy. And they don't call it Cinco de Mayo because there's also like a Mexico, I think, thing called Cinco de Mayo. But this is totally unrelated to that. I guess something else in Panama happened on that same day, and that's why they call it Cinco de Mayo. I'm not too sure of the story behind it, but it was very busy. And then as you go along down Cinco de Mayo, then there's another street you can go down to the left where there's a whole other market, and it's all like little shacks and people selling their stuff and very narrow passageway. You know, and there I am with my big backpack full of tracks, you know, trying to get through this little opening. And trying to give out tracts to everybody. And everybody was very receptive, and all the vendors, they were all very gracious. And then, as we went through there, then once you get through that section, then on the right-hand side, there was this big meat market inside. You'd go inside, and you walk in, and there's a real big open area with all these, stainless steel tables, and all, like, chickens hanging down from the ceiling, and chickens on the table, the guts hanging out, you know, and the whole floor is all covered with blood, like a little layer of blood. And very slimy, it felt like 3 or 4 times because it's so slippery. You're walking on all the meat juice, and there's dogs walking around licking up the meat. It was a good odor in there as well. So you just walk around, all the vendors, you know, they're hacking away at their meat and bloody hands, and then you hear it with the track, and they go, oh, and they wipe off their hand, and they take the track, they thank you, you know, they're very receptive to it, you know, and so that was a blessing. And there, you know, a lot of people in there. I don't know if there were customers in there or whatever. It was all just people working away on the meats. And so we worked our way through there, and that was a good place. And then we walked. I didn't even know, you know, I didn't know where we were. I knew we were in Panama City. And then you walk around the corner, and all of a sudden, boom! There's the ocean, just Pacific Ocean right there. I didn't even know we were that close to the water. And all these buzzards flying around. And the beach, it must have been like low tide. All their boats, like fishing boats, were all like beached on the sand. And all these like turkey vultures, whatever they were, vultures and buzzards flying around, these huge birds. And like, I don't know if they're eating maybe when the tide goes out, there's fish or something. I don't know, they were all just swooping down. And it was an impressive sight. And then there's a long pier that goes out. And all these guys just sitting on the pier, you know, not doing anything. And so I just walk out there, and they all very receptive to the tracks and just sitting out there doing nothing. So that was a blessing to give them that. It's always good when somebody's not doing anything, they're just sitting there. Because when you give them the tracks, almost immediately they just start reading. You know, they got nothing else to do, and they can read the tracks. But it was an impressive sight to see if there's the ocean. I didn't even know we were right there on the ocean. And so that was a blessing. And then, let's see. Then I think it was Friday, we went to this town called Capira. We took a bus. It was about an hour and a half bus ride. Because by Friday, we were there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, of full days of distribution. And by Friday, I mean, we were already, Barry and Jerry were already telling people, you know, slow down because we were running out of tracks. They were they wanted to save some for the next week, you know, to have enough, you know, for every day. And so we took a bus ride out of town to Kapira. And supposedly it was supposed to be this real busy area that we got information from somebody that it was supposed to be a busy area. And so me, Jerry, and Elsha took a bus ride out there. And then when we got there, the bus driver dropped us off. And then he went away, and we looked around. There's no people, nobody there. And so he said, well, you know, the Lord has his reasons why we're here, you know. And we loaded up 2,000 tracks, each, you know, big backpacks full of tracks, and started walking around. And, you know, here and there, little people here and there, but not nearly enough for all the tracks. And so I think we got another taxi ride. Oh, no, then we went down one road. Then we made a right and started going down another back road and found a little park or something. And then Jerry started talking to somebody to try and find out, you know, where's more people at and to get a taxi so we could travel. And so he started talking to this one lady, and she offered to help him out. And so she called a taxi for us, and he was willing to just drive us around. And then wherever we saw people, we could get out and give them the tracks, then hop back in the taxi and go on, you know, keep going down the road. So that was... It went very well. There was a guy who had a pickup truck, and so we got in the truck, and this was all, you know, just little villages. We would drive a little ways down the road, and then, you know, there'd be homes on the side, some people outside the house, and so we'd hop out, give them the tracks, then hop back in and keep going along like that for a couple miles. And we had some good, and that was good because we had a good opportunity to talk to some people because, you know, you're not there busy, you know, thousands of people passing out trash. There's just one here and one there. And so we had a lot of good little conversations with people. And I remember one young man there that me and Elsha were able to speak with, he said he liked Benny Hinn. You know, so even there in these countries, you know, they get these false gospels through the TV or through whatever. And so it was good we could tell him this false gospel. And we had a lot of good booklets to give him. And he was very happy to get them. And so that was good. And... And then the next day, yeah, we went to this town called Chorera. We took it because still the other people, a lot of the other group were still in Panama City passing out tracks in the busy areas. And so the tracks were really going very quickly. And so they actually on Friday, yeah, I think on Friday, they ordered 25,000 more tracks that were supposed to be delivered on the next Tuesday. And so... we took another ride the next day to Chorera, another city, again, because we didn't want to pass out so many tracks, and so we went to a less busy area. But again, that place was pretty busy, too. It was like this shopping mall, and like the name of it was the 24th of December, Christmas Eve. And I don't know why that was the name of it. It was just called the 24th of December Shopping Mall. So I don't know what the name of that was for. But again, a lot of people there and very... you know, there's, again, no resistance at all, and no, even in all these mall areas, you know, as long as you pass out tracks, and then if a security guard came out and said, hey, you need permission to the administrator, and because a couple of different malls, we would go up to the administration and say, yep, that's fine, you know, and that was it, and you could pass out tracks. Nobody really stopped us from passing out tracks. And then we had this other guy with us that day, this guy named Alfonso, who we had met. I guess somebody had met him on the street a couple of days before, and he started coming to the Bible studies. And so he was helpful to, you know, because he spoke Spanish, and he took us to some busy markets and things like that. So that was a blessing. And that same day, Barry's group, they went to this part of this city where this real high crime area, where I think it was called Corundu area, where it's all these high-rise apartment buildings, and it was really, really run down. They say, like, the police, they don't even want to go in there. They just stay outside of the area because there's so much drugs and so much crime. I guess there's gangs and things like that. But Barry and some other guys, they went in, and you know, God just calmed these people down. There was no, they had, again, very receptive, and they would go door-to-door in this apartment building. And the boom boxes are blaring, you know, they're battling each other who can play the music loudest, I guess. You know, and, you know, trash is just strewn about the whole place, very, very run down. And everywhere in Panama, almost every single building or every residential home, everyone has bars on the doors and bars on the windows. Every single house. I don't think I saw one house with no bars on it. Even the hotel, bars on the windows. But they went in and were able to give out a lot of Bibles in there. You know, a lot of people come to the door, you know, no clothes on, or they may have boxer shorts on or whatever, and just sitting there. And these guys, I don't think they pay rent in there. You know, they're just like squatting, you know, and because the police, they won't go in there and won't touch this area. And then I guess when they were on the later that day, they were still in that area, and some girls brought them some sodas. You know, it was a hot day, and these girls that lived there that had gotten Bibles maybe an hour or two before came up to them and gave them some sodas. You know, that was a nice gesture on their part, and so it was a blessing. They really had an open door there, that God really opened that door to go in there, whereas everybody was telling them, you know, you shouldn't go in there. But we know God protects us, and, you know, just trusting in the Lord. You know, everybody needs the gospel. And, you know, like 1 Corinthians 1 or whatever, you know, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You know, these guys that are high, you know, making the big bucks, and, you know, they God really seems to work in these poor areas, you know, in these poor countries, you know. And so it was good that they could bring the gospel there. And then we met this other guy in Panama, this brother named Alvin Wallace, I think his name was. And he lives in New York. He lived in New York City as a family radio listener. He lives there for like 6 months, and then he goes down to Panama. I think his son or his brother lives down in Panama, so he goes down there the other 6 months. And like, I guess a year ago, or maybe more than a year ago, he had gotten the End of the Church Age book when he was in New York, and he agreed with it and agrees with the true gospel. And so he was so happy to meet family radio listeners. You know, I forget who met him first on the street, but he came every day after that. He was there every morning, 8 a.m., ready to go, pass out tracts with us, and stay all day until the end of the Bible study at 10 o'clock at night. And I think we left some tracts with him, and also some Bibles at the end for him to continue to distribute there in Panama City. And also he was a blessing too, because he could translate for us. When we would have the Bible studies, we had some guests, some people coming that we had invited, that we had met out on the streets. And so when Jerry or Barry would give the message, you know, they would say something, and then Alvin would translate it for the people that came, because most of the people that came, all they spoke was Spanish. So that was good. And the last week we were there, I think it was on Tuesday, a few people came who said they were from this fellowship group in Panama City. They said they're not a church, and they see that the apostasy in the churches, and so they came the one night, and then the next night, like, Jerry just started giving the message, and all of a sudden 25 people start pouring in the door from this fellowship group or whatever to come for the Bible study, and they've never heard of Family Radio. And then after the message, Alvin was talking to them, you know, through translating, and they were saying that, you know, they agree with election, you know, and the grace alone, and they said these are the things that they've been teaching. And so they were very happy. They wanted us to come to their community and bring a message, but we didn't have time for that or whatever. And so, but they were very, very happy to meet. And that's just, you know, it's not like Family Radio has a corner on the truth, you know. It's God's Bible, you know, and He teaches His people. And so that was a blessing to meet these people that have never heard of Family Radio and yet are teaching these same teachings, you know. And so that was a real encouragement. And on the one Sunday we were there, we had tried, Jerry and Elsha and I, we tried to go out to this island. You had to take a ferry boat out there. And so we got there, and they told us they were out of tickets. You know, there were no more tickets to buy. But we just played, you know, we just still went all the way down to the boat. We give out, so we could give out tracts to everyone that was going on the ferry at least. And you know, and that's the way God works. You know, He just closes that door. Obviously, it wasn't His will for us to go there, you know. And so we just moved on and went and took a taxi ride back into Panama City. And we went to a Catholic church and stood outside there and passed out quite a few tracts of the people going in and out of the Catholic church. And again, no resistance even from the Catholics there. And that's one thing they said when we got there, that, oh, this is this big Roman Catholic country. And yet you saw very little of Catholicism there. You know, I think I only saw like one or two statues of Mary while I was there, and not many Catholic churches either, just this one that we went to. But there is a lot of charismatic churches there, a lot of charismatics. And even on Sunday, another team went outside the charismatic church, and there they had some resistance. That was the only place in the whole city. They went outside the charismatic church, passing out tracts, and the leaders came out, and they and there was Brother Case. He was one that went there, and they surrounded him, you know, and they were trying to cast out devils out of him or something. They were laying their hands on him, you know, and, you know, thinking he's of Satan, you know. And another brother, Steve DeLuca, he was here a couple weeks ago, actually, at E-Bible, and I got the room with him, so that was a blessing. He's a dear brother, and he was there outside the charismatic, and he said a lot of these highways that they have these walkways that you'd walk up the steps to cross over the road and then go back down the steps. And they would get up on top of there, and they would crumple up the tracks, and they were throwing them at them, the charismatic congregation there. But again, that was the only resistance that they had. And the police came, and they were just told them to move away. But the one police officer got a Bible, and he was so happy. He didn't want to tell these people to move away, you know. So they just kind of had to move to another side of the sidewalk, you know. And they passed out quite a few tracts, because this charismatic church is called Hosanna Church, and thousands in the congregation. So it was a blessing that they could bring the true gospel there for these people. And so we had the 25,000 tracts ordered to be delivered on that Tuesday. But what happened was on Monday afternoon, Jerry, we had run out of tracts. We were all finished on Monday, and the tracts were supposed to be delivered Tuesday. And so Jerry, you know, just talking with the front desk, we said, yeah, well, we passed out all our tracts. And then the guy at the desk said, well, what about those in the closet over there? And he said, what are you talking about? We went over in the closet, opened, there's 40,000 tracts sitting in the closet. And he said, why are they in the closet? They're supposed to be in the room over there. And that on Friday, they had to have a special, some other group came in, and they had to move the tracts. And I guess the hotel staff didn't have room where to put them, so they put 40,000 in the closet. But they didn't tell anybody. And so it all turned out well, because then the next day, that day, Barry called up the printer to tell him, hey, you know, maybe we can just cancel the order, because we still got 40,000 tracts left. And the guy said, well, I haven't even started on the order, because I got another big order that swamped me, and he didn't even have time to start on them. So we weren't even going to get those tracts anyway. So God worked that all out, you know. And again, you know, saved money too. You didn't have to buy those extra 25,000 tracts. So it all worked out well. And then we had 40,000 for the rest of the next few days. And again, it was a slow pace each of those days, you know. Because we had 19 people on the team. Plus we had two or three helpers, you know, that lived there in Panama. So we had quite a good big group. And then because of the slow pace, again, we could go outside the city, which was a blessing, because we go into these villages and areas where, you know, we normally wouldn't have gone to if we had to, you know, if we still had a lot of tracks left. So it was a blessing. And so then on that, I think it was Wednesday, I got to go to this area called Veracruz, which was an ocean village. That was probably about a 45-minute bus ride to an hour maybe. And so we got to go out there, and it was a little village, and it was like built up into the mountain. Like you could see the houses, and they go back up into this mountain. And they're all like pastel colors. It's really very pretty, these houses, and they're little houses. And the roads, they're not paved, though. It's all like rocks. And so I trekked up this one main street, and it's all rocks, and a real big mountain on it. And then you have a big pack on your back, and I was huffing and puffing trying to get up, because I saw there's one house way up on the top. And so I made my way up there, and there's a little senora there sweeping her front porch with her broom. And I get up there, and I'm out of breath, like, are you from the Bible? You know? And she said, oh, thank you very much. And then we had a very good conversation after I caught my breath. And so that was a blessing. And I gave her a Bible, too. So it was a blessing. And then we worked our way down. Our plan was we went up all the way up to the top, and then we worked our way down on the side streets. And again, very receptive. And but again, everybody, bars on their windows, bars on their doors, big gates with barbed wire, a lot of. But I didn't see much crime. I guess because everybody's got bars, nobody bothers anybody. I don't know. But they're and a lot of dogs. Every house, a big barky dog. You know. And one street, we started walking down, and it was like three dogs on this side, four dogs, and all barking up a storm. There's chickens crowing on the side, and I was with Case that day, and he said, "Oh, see, they're telling everybody, hey, the Lord's people are here. We're bringing the gospel." You know, the dogs barking, the chickens, and there's this one house, this very vicious looking dog. I mean, he had fangs, and he was looking right at me, barking at me, because I wanted to go into that house to knock on the door there. And I said, "I'm not going in there." You know? And then Case, "What are you talking about?" And Case just walked right by, and the dog carried away, and he knocked on the door, and the lady came out and gave him the track. And he says, "You just got to go up there, you know." And then the next house we went to, the dog was sleeping outside the front porch. So Case comes up and he says, "Oh, this is the house. You can go to this house. You know, there's a dog sleeping, you know. No problem for you." You know? So it was a blessing to see Brother Case again. He's a dear brother. And so that was a good day. And yeah, that was about it. And then Thursday we didn't have many tracts to pass out, just maybe like 250 for each person. So that goes very fast in Panama. It's just amazing too how many tracts you pass out in these countries compared to here. You know, you take out 100 tracts here, you're gonna be out there a couple hours. You want to get out 100 tracts in America, but down in Panama in these busy areas, you know, 1,500, 2,000 tracts go in 3-4 hours. It's just amazing how many people, and plus the high reception of tracts. And another blessing was all the taxi rides, because we had to take a taxi everywhere we went, unless we took the bus. The bus was real cheap, you know, like 25, 50 cents. Like that hour and a half bus ride I think that cost us $1 a piece for an hour and a half bus ride. But the taxi rides were like $2 to go maybe 20 minutes, half hour ride. And but every taxi ride, we had a great opportunity to witness to the taxi driver. We had a lot of good conversations there. And the one day, when we were coming back to the hotel, the taxi driver, he had, you know, the boom booms going on in the car, but he had a CD player. So Jerry gave him an open forum CD and said, "Hey, put this in." You know, so he put that in. We got to listen to the Spanish open forum for, you know, listening to maybe 10, 15 minutes. And, you know, I don't know what it was saying or anything, but. And then Jerry, you know, said, "Oh, you know, you can turn it off if you want." And said, no, I liked it. I'm listening." You know, he was interested in hearing it. You know, and so that was a blessing, because we had a lot of open forum CDs to give out to people that were interested. I guess it's one open forum on a regular CD that the guys at Family Radio made for the trip, and we had a lot of booklets, a lot of what is the true gospel. We had a lot of those booklets. A lot of speaking in tongues booklet. We had maybe like 25, 50 end of the church age and after books, and they were gone after the first few days, so we didn't have many. But we had a lot of Wheat and Tares books, and I had a couple of people come back up to me asking me for the Wheat and Tares book. So that was a buzz. And a lot of people, and everybody on the team too, had the same experience. A lot of people would come back up to you, and they would say, you know, I can make out a little bit of what they were saying, that they liked the tract, but they say, "Accept this question." And they would open it up, trying to find the question they're thinking about, and everyone points to the end of the church age question, you know. And they would say, "Well, what do you mean we're not supposed to go to church?" And so it was a good opportunity to share it. It was like the first time they ever heard this, you know. And but a lot of people, that's what they would come back to you and point to that question. And so that was a blessing. We could share a lot with them. And I only had one person came up to me, and he was, you know, I could make out what he was saying. He was doing some, he was telling me, you know, if you confess with your mouth, you know, that verse in Romans 10, whatever it is, confess with your mouth. So he was trying, because he read the tract, and obviously he didn't like that it wasn't accept Jesus, you know. And so that was, we had a good little conversation then, but he kept going on. He wouldn't let me talk, so I just patted him on the shoulder, "All right, you know." Because these guys, you can get tied down, you know, when you want to pass out tracts, and these guys come up to you, and you talk to them for a long time, and all these people are flowing by you. So it just takes wisdom. But it's good to have little conversations here and there with some people. And that's about it. But it was a real blessing, and I'm thankful that I could go, and that Yeah, it's good that we could. I thank those that paid money so I could go there. That was a real blessing. And the food was pretty good. We had a lot of fish and chicken and rice and vegetables. I think I lost 10 or 15 pounds. A lot of exercise, too, walking around. And the one day we were out in Cherrera, that one city, we ate at this stand or whatever, and they, if they're fit, they sell fish, and they, I guess they take the fish and they scrub off all the scales or whatever, and then they marinate it, and then they throw it in the deep fryer. They don't put any breading on it or anything, you know, they just fry it up. And then you get that big hot fish, crispy fish, you know, with the head on it and the tail, you know, and just bite into it. And, you know, when you're hungry, you eat it, you know. But it was good, and you even eat the tail, you know, it's like a potato chip, you know, real crispy. Yeah, and like the bones, they soften when they put them in that fryer, so you eat all the bones and everything. And it's just, I didn't eat the head, I just took that off. Anyway, but it was an experience to eat that, you know, fish. And then they, you know, the vendors, when they see your expression, you know, they laugh at you. Because you're the only white people there, you know, the gringos are here, you know. But there's a very, the Panamanian people are very gracious, very friendly. And many of them, you know, smiles on their faces. And another thing was, too, I had a lot of shirts, you know, are you ready to meet God, or does God love you? What would be your eternal home? And they're all English, you know, in English shirts. And I was thinking, when I went there, well, probably people wouldn't be able to read your shirt, you know, in English. But when we got there, a lot of these women, they all wear T-shirts with English phrases on them. And, you know, not good phrases either, you know, like sinful things, but it's all in English. And they wear them. And so here we have a Are You Ready to Meet God shirt on. I had a couple of people come up to me, look at me real close, and go, Are you ready to meet God? You know, they're trying to read your shirt. And so it was So it's a blessing. A lot, and you ask a lot of people, they don't speak English. They only speak very little English. But it was neat to see. Everybody had T-shirts with English phrases on it, so it wasn't like we were out of place with that. That's about it. Anybody else have any questions or anything? Right. Oh, yeah. Right, yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was a blessing.
I also want to thank your wife that
she let me go.
Not
yeah.
No,
she did. Yeah, that's good.
That she was supportive of you going.
Right, yeah.
Say that.
Right. No, no.
I did have a question, though. When you go to foreign countries, usually the people of the country can tell that you're American.
Right. Yeah,
and
yeah.
In that way also, you know, I want to ask you about that. The people come up to you and ask you. Sometimes people walk up and say, oh, you're from America, pray for me. And they'll fall down
right.
On their
knees. Yeah.
They put your hands on me, pray for me. And then you got to kind of roll,
hold
it.
Right. I didn't have any of that. I didn't have anybody come down and ask me to pray. But yeah, some people come up and ask you for money. You know, they would do that. Yeah, a couple of people. Not that many, though. But a lot of people would come up to you and ask you for a tract. You know, here in America, you don't have that very often. People come and ask you for a tract. We had a lot of people, and especially if you're talking to someone, then you get like three or four people coming up, you know, because they see you talk to them, and they go, I want one of those, you know. And so you give them it. So that was a blessing. But yeah, nobody came up and asked for prayer or anything like that. And some people did ask for money, but it wasn't too bad. Well, I think they got wind. Yeah, I think they got wind that it told them not to go to church. I think that's what happened. I think the church leaders, and then the church leaders too, when they were passing out the tracts, after a while, you know, they finally came out, and then they were taking them out of their congregation's hands. You know, oh, don't take this, you know, and they would. But still, a lot of tracts had already gone out, and even after that, a lot of people coming out would take them and stuff. So yeah, I think they got wind of the fact that the church that the Track said, you know, to not attend the church, and that's what they didn't like.
Thank you very much for your tribute to Bernardo. I want to say this,
Yeah, very few spoke English. Most people. I asked a lot of people if they spoke English. They said very little, and so everything's in Spanish. Oh yeah, a lot of people very receptive, and you saw a lot of people reading the tracts, and then come up to you and ask you for a couple more for their family. We had a lot of that, and a lot of people very receptive, and again we had, I think right from the start we had two or three people come to the Bible study each night at the hotel, which was a blessing. Yeah, there's no danger at all. It's very safe. Yeah, there's no problems or anything. A lot of police you see walking around, and a lot of guys in bulletproof vests with big machine guns. I guess they're, of course, that's not too safe, but yeah, I felt safe. With these guys walking around. A lot of this security, I didn't see any crime, but it's probably because these guys walk around with machine guns, and they got the bars on everything, and there's no problems. They got a good police system there, I think. But even in Kurundu, where these guys went, where the police won't even go in there, the guys said they felt very safe, and nobody, there was no threats or anything like that. Yeah, it's a long day. Yeah, it is tiring. Yeah, so we always slept good at night, and got up in the morning. But it's the joy of the Lord is your strength. That verse in the Bible, and so the day goes, the 2 weeks goes by very fast. It felt like I just got there. And of course, the weather is like 90 degrees, and it's beautiful, beautiful weather. And then you come back, and the next day, a foot of snow outside the door. So it's quite a contrast. Oh, me? No. I'm all out of vacation now for work. Only one more week for the family radio conference. But maybe next year. We'll see. But yeah, that's in April. They're going to be going to the Philippines. I think Tom's going to that. Lord willing. So a lot of people are looking forward to that trip. About salvation, really. And really, Barry and Jerry, they emphasized, about how salvation is not of works. That was really in God's election plan, really the whole salvation plan. And it was a blessing when these 20 or more people came in for that one Bible study. And afterward, I was wondering how they were going to react, because Jerry had given a really strong study, how God hates the wicked, because he would go, does God love you? It's the tract title. And he would, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, and all about how, God's grace alone. And then afterward they say they're teaching the same things. So that was a blessing. And they're all very receptive to the true gospel. They ain't really, it's pretty much all about salvation. And then we also sang some hymns, which was nice. I think Tom Kukla and Gary Gaddy, the printer, they put together the hymnal for these trips. So that was nice. All right, well, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you, Father, for today, Lord. And we thank you for your mercy and that you brought the gospel down to Panama, Father. And we just pray for your mercy on the people there. We pray you might bless all those that we spoke with or that we came in contact with, Lord, and pray you might save many, Father. And we just pray you might be with Brother Alvin down there as he continues to share your gospel. And we pray you might be with him and bless his efforts, Father. And we just thank you again for all your mercies on us, Lord. And help us to share the gospel right here, Father, and to bring the gospel to our hometowns, Lord, and around here. And we just pray you might save many around here as well. And Lord, we just pray for your blessing today. In Jesus' name, amen.